What if you could power cities just by mixing river water with seawater? Around 15,000 terawatt hours of energy pours into the oceans each year as fresh water blends with salt water at river mouths. That amounts to roughly half the energy the world consumes in electricity every year. And we may have finally found a way to tap it. It's called osmotic power, and it could provide clean energy around the clock. As fresh water becomes scarcer, more cities are turning to desalination plants to meet their water needs. But desalination is energy intensive, which drives up both water and electricity costs. Osmotic power could flip that equation by using the same salty wastewater from desalination to generate electricity instead of just dumping it back into the ocean. Pilot projects are proving that there's more than one way to shake up this hydrological cocktail. One approach creates voltage like a battery. Another builds pressure like a mini hydropower dam. But how does this tech work? Could a combination of fresh and salt water be the solution to the world's ever-increasing energy demands? I'm Matt Farrell. Welcome to Undecided. This video is brought to you by Incogni. We already get energy from sunlight, wind, and dams, but what about estuaries? When fresh water spills into seawater, energy is released as salt levels equalize. What if we could draw off some of that river water while it's still fresh, and some seawater while it's still salty, and combine them in a way that lets us put that free energy to work? It turns out we can. This is osmotic power, and Ocean Energy Systems, which is the blue energy wing of the International Energy Agency, predicts it could compete with other low-emissions renewable energy sources like wave, tidal, and offshore wind at 50 to 100 euros per megawatt hour, or about $60 to $120. So how much electricity are we talking about? Well, some of the estimates range from about 17% of today's worldwide electricity demand, at least according to the Dubai Future Foundation, all the way down to about 2% in a study that modeled using only ideal river mouths and diverting just 20% of their flow. Still, that's the amount of energy you'd get from covering all of Puerto Rico with solar panels. A 2016 study of coastal resources found that at least 448 river mouths all around the world are good candidates. But osmotic power isn't limited to just estuaries. If we tap saltwater outflows from desalination plants and other industries and pair them with fresh water from municipal wastewater streams, the amount of energy that we could generate through osmosis jumps even higher. Currently, a French startup is using a membrane made from wood pulp to separate the salts and seawater fast enough to create voltage. The company says it could generate enough power for 1.5 million people with seawater from the Mediterranean in just a fraction of the Rhone River's flow. In Japan, a very different approach is already online. The country's first osmotic power plant uses turbines to generate electricity from a desalination plant's salty wastewater and fresh water from the local treatment center. So how can mixing water possibly generate electricity? The trick used in Japan is to separate that sweet, sweet fresh water from the salt water with a membrane that keeps salts on the saltwater side, but lets water molecules from the fresh water come through. It's kind of like a one-way valve. Water then rushes from the freshwater side to the saltier side, balancing the salt in a natural process called osmosis. It's kind of like pickles. Hang with me for a second. It's the same force that pickles cucumbers. It drives water out of the plump veg and into a salty brine until the pickle is both shriveled and delicious. I really need to stop filming right before lunch. Anyway, all that fresh water passing into the salt water builds up pressure on the saltwater side. The pressurized water is then released through a turbine, spinning a generator and producing electricity. This process is called PRO, or pressure-retarded osmosis, because fresh water flows into the salt water even though the salt water is moderately pressurized. Osmosis is that powerful. It's no surprise, then, that PRO is making such a global splash. Groups in Australia, South Korea, Spain, and Qatar have launched prototypes and pilot projects, hoping to launch it as a major league renewable. Norwegian company Statkraft built a 4-kilowatt PRO demonstration site in 2009 with dreams of reaching 25 megawatts. It produced power, but not at a price that could compete. And in 2013, Statkraft shut the plant down. The salinity difference between the fjord seawater and the nearby river just wasn't high enough to drive cheap power production with the membranes that existed back then. So when Danish company Salt Power built out the world's first full-scale osmotic power plant in 2023, it used the saltiest water possible, brine from the Nobian Salt Works. The water is so salty, it can't hold any more salt. At the salt works, fresh water is pumped deep underground to dissolve salt deposits, then pumped back up as a concentrated brine. Salt Power added its osmotic generator into that loop. The system generates about 100 kilowatts of power, enough to offset some of the energy needed to run those pumps. Thanks to modern higher-efficiency membranes, the cost of that power is finally approaching solar and wind, with one big difference. Salt Power's osmotic generator runs 24/7. The next step in bringing Pro to its full potential is to use water that's somewhere in the middle between seawater and saturation. The water is similar to the double concentrate of seawater that's produced when fresh water is extracted in desalination plants. In August of 2025, the world welcomed a Pro plant in Fukuoka, Japan, linked to the Umino Nakamichi Nara Seawater Desalination Center. It's pulling salty brine from the desalination plant and treated sewage from the nearby Washiro Water Treatment Center. It's expected to generate 880 megawatt hours of electricity per year, or roughly 110 kilowatts of net power output. That electricity helps offset part of the desalination plant's own energy use, but would otherwise be enough to supply around 220 Japanese homes. The plant just opened, so real-world performance data isn't available yet, but we do have results from a two-year pilot study in South Korea. The desalination facility used Pro not to generate electricity, but as an energy recovery device to help pressurize water for desalination. The researchers found that adding Pro cut the plant's overall energy use by around 20%. It's absolutely huge. The world is already in a freshwater crisis, with more desalination plants constructed each year to meet the freshwater demands. As of 2019, desalination consumed an estimated 205 to 361 terawatt hours of electricity each year. That's about the same annual electricity use of Spain or Mexico. A 20% discount on that level of energy consumption could help keep freshwater prices accessible, even as rivers and lakes dry up. For Pro to make economic sense at a desalination plant, it only has to beat the price the plant already pays for electricity, which is the market rate. That's the pressure approach to osmotic power. But what if there's another way to harvest osmotic power by capturing voltage like a battery instead of spinning turbines? What if it's efficient enough to produce electricity cheap enough to sell to the grid? Electricity that could feed your home, your phone, and your EV. But before we get into how our French company is harvesting osmotic power, let's talk about something else that's being harvested without your permission. Personal data. Today's sponsor, Incogni, can help you get to the source of the problem and restore some of your privacy. Data brokers collect and sell your personal details to people who might want to use it against you. We're talking about some real threats like identity theft, scams, and stalking, because they can't harm you if they can't find you. Your home address, your phone number, and relatives' information are being sold online, and criminals use this data to take out fraudulent loans or track people down in real life. I signed up for Incogni, gave them the legal right to work on my behalf, and then just sat back and relaxed. It's really that easy. Their custom removals feature is really cool. You can flag any website where your data is exposed and they'll get it removed. I've seen a dramatic drop in where my information is showing up online. If you want to take back control of your personal information, give Incogni a try. Use the code UNDECIDED at the link below and get 60% off an annual plan. Thanks to Incogni and to all of you for supporting the channel. Now about that French company that's harvesting power from seawater. Switch Energy in France is scaling up an osmotic power technology it says will clear the renewable energy limbo bar at about $110 per megawatt hour, and that's within the next 3 years. At that price, an around-the-clock energy source like osmotic power can compete with intermittent renewables like solar and wind with battery storage added in. And above that bar, well, we know how that goes. Starting in 2015, Switch created an osmotic generator utilizing a technology they call ionic nano-osmotic diffusion, or INOD. The membranes in Switch's design aren't designed to block salt's sodium and chloride ions like desalination and Pro membranes. Instead, they're covered in fairly large holes around 10 nanometers wide, which is much larger than the ions themselves. The salt is meant to move through into the freshwater channels that flank each saltwater channel. So how do you get electricity if you're just letting the salt just run right through? By cleverly separating salt's positively charged sodium ions from the negatively charged chloride ions. On one side of each saltwater channel, the membrane's pores carry a positive charge, and on the other side, the pores are negatively charged. That means when the salts are drawn into the fresh water, the sodium ions are pulled through one side, while the chloride ions head out the other. Think of the salt ions like horror enthusiasts and musical buffs that are queuing up at the box office. Even if both theater doors open at the same time, the moviegoers sort themselves. The separation creates a voltage difference between the two ends of the stack, driving electrons through the external circuit to generate the electricity. The water keeps flowing, and so does the electricity. This is baseload power for a grid produced from just mixing saltwater and freshwater. To compete with other renewable energy sources, Sweech's stacks will need to produce far more energy than is used up pumping and filtering river and seawater. Although unlike in Pro, the water fed into the INOD membranes doesn't need to be pressurized. In the lab, its INOD membranes have hit 4.3 watts per square meter. That's a power density 50 to 100% higher than other leading membranes. That's because Sweech's membranes have supersized and supercharged pores to speed up ion flow and maximize power density. Of course, a real river is very different from a lab. To see how well the membranes perform with actual river and seawater, Sweech built a pilot facility where France's Rhone River meets the Mediterranean Sea. In field tests, power density has climbed from 1.2 to 1.6 watts per square meter, reaching 40% efficiency in turning osmotic power into electricity. That may seem like a big drop compared to the 4.3 watts per square meter, but that's typical when switching from pure salt solutions in the lab to the variety pack of salts in real river and seawater. With continued testing, the company says it very likely can hit 60 to 65% efficiency. The plan is to gradually scale the site from a several kilowatt pilot into a full-on demo facility, selling energy to the grid within 3 years. Sweech says that if it ran just 10% of the Rhone River through its stacks, it could obtain 400 megawatts of electricity. That means Rhone's osmotic power could cover the electricity needs of the Marseille metropolitan area and its 1.5 million people. Sweech has its sights set on delivering grid power, but along the way, it's partnering with local industries like desalination plants to turn their salty wastewater into energy too. Sweech's first stop? Opening its big new production facility in France to scale up membrane production, optimizing the manufacturing process just as it's optimized its unusual membrane. In desalination and Pro, membranes are typically petroleum-derived polyamide films, but Sweech makes its membranes with an inexpensive natural polymer, cellulose, from wood. The same stuff we turn into paper, cellophane wrap, and even rayon fabric. The company manufactures the membranes itself in a roll-to-roll process, tuning the membrane's physical and chemical properties to its needs. According to a 2024 report by French energy company ENGIE, Sweech's tech stands at technology readiness level of a 6, though reliable power export to the grid would bring them to a level of 7. However, the technology isn't the only part of the osmotic power systems that needs deep study. Diverting an estuary's river water could have downstream effects by changing the way water and sediments flow. That could impact oyster bars, seagrass beds, and mangroves. Estuaries are known as the nurseries of the sea, because so many species of fish and other critters grow up there before heading offshore. All that life and sediment is no good for membranes. It slams them up. Desalination plants rely on heavy-duty filtration and even chemical conditioning to prevent that. Sweech has a system in place for pre-filtration of sediment, but biofouling is still an issue. Because it's returning the water directly to the estuary, it has to beat back biofouling without chemical treatment. Still, with global desalination capacity expected to double by 2050, the potential for osmotic power keeps rising. Meeting clean energy targets will take a mix of technologies. This means tried-and-true solar and wind, plus newcomers like osmotic power and wave energy, which I've covered recently in another video if you want to check it out. Just like how hydropower dominates the rainy Pacific Northwest, and solar fields cover sunny Texas, each renewable has its place. And osmotic power's place might be exactly where we need it most, at coastal desalination plants that are already dealing with salty wastewater and rising energy costs. I'll be watching to see if osmotic power scales up at desalination plants, and whether Sweech starts exporting power to the grid in France within the next few years. But what do you think? Is osmotic power just a desalination plant add-on, or could it really grow into a source of power for coastal cities? Jump in the comments and let me know. You can also check out the extended cut of this video over on Patreon, where I go into a possible secondary power source for Sweech's energy system. And speaking of that, these videos take a team to make. A team of humans. Real research, real interviews, real feedback from experts. No AI slop. If that matters to you, Patreon support really helps a lot. Patrons like my new Supporter Plus members, Luke Timmons and Mike. The link is in the description if you'd like to join, but honestly, just watching like you are right now is absolutely awesome. So thank you. And check out my follow-up podcast, Still to be Determined. We'll keep this conversation going. Keep your mind open, stay curious, and I'll see you in the next one.